Pastor Brian. Thank you, worship team. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 11. Romans 8, 5 through 11. We're going through the book of Romans there, and especially here in chapter 8. It's probably one of the most beloved chapters in all of Scripture. But Paul goes deep. Paul digs deep in the Word, and sometimes it's a little difficult to pull out and to deliver and keep it in a simplified way so we can understand. So to simplify the best I could today, Paul is really distinguishing between a believer and a non-believer. Between a believer and a non-believer. Sometimes we don't understand the depth of the beauty and the richness of God's word that we have in our possession. There was a wealthy man in Hollywood who loved to collect art. He had other career aspirations and other things where he made his money, but he loved art. And he was reading about two pieces of art that he desired to have. So he hired a collector to go out looking for these two pieces of artwork. The guy went out looking and went from one place to the next place to the next, trying to locate and kind of trace down where these pieces of art may be so he could purchase them for this man. Some time had gone by, and the collector called this wealthy man and says, "Sir, I've located the pieces of art that you want." He said, "Well, where are they, and how much will it cost me?" The collector said, "Well, I don't know how much you're going to charge for them, but they're already in your warehouse." You see, sometimes we don't know what we have. We don't understand the richness and the beauty and the depth that God's word already has for us. It's in our possession, and we don't even know it. So as Paul begins to break down even more for us here in Romans 8, he helps us see and distinguish between who's a believer and who is not. And we need to hear a message like this. Because most people think because they go to a church that calls itself Christian that they are saved, born again. And it's just not so. See, you could stand in a garage, but it doesn't make you a car. So Paul is addressing the Christians there in Rome who were converted Jews who likely visited Jerusalem during Pentecost back in Acts chapter 2. So he's addressing this specifically to the church of Rome and knowing that there's been some issue between the Jewish Christians, the Messianic Jews, and the Gentile Christians. Why? Well, see, these Jewish Christians learned as much as they could there at Pentecost during this brief time in Jerusalem. Then they returned to Rome, likely preaching the message that Peter preached and the apostles there in AD 33. Well, Paul addresses this letter to the Roman church in AD 56 to 57. So for 24 years, the church there has already been established in Rome. Yet under Emperor Claudius, the mix of Gentile and Jewish Christians in Rome took a significant turn. See, history records that the Jews constantly made disruptions in Rome, not necessarily the Jewish Christians, the Jews. Under Claudius's rule, they were disruptive. So the emperor got tired of it. He expelled all the Jews out of Rome. That was Jews and Christian Jews, Messianic Jews, in AD 49. So when the monarch died in AD 54, the Jews could return back. So there was a 5-year span of time in the Church of Rome that there were no Jewish influence. It was all Gentile. The Jews had been expelled. So when Paul's letter arrives, it arrives there in a time when the Jews had returned back to Jerusalem, back to Rome, and there was conflict again. So Paul is having to sort out some of the things that these guys were a little confused upon. So there was a significant increase in social tension by the Jews and the Gentiles outside of the church that actually bled over into the church. That's not a whole lot different than today. Do you realize a lot of times that the tensions that people have with one another who both go to the same church is over an issue that has nothing to do with the church and nothing in the church, but they bring it in the church? It's some family issue or something happened at the ballpark or happened over here, or happened over there. Nothing to do within the church, but they bring it to the church. So Paul's letter deals with this Gentile and Jewish relationship as primary issues. That's for the whole book of Romans. So Paul is now teaching deep truths in the church of Rome, who had been established there for about 24, 25 years already, and he's having to straighten out some things. So Paul is laying out the difference between those who are lost or unsaved, but trying to find righteousness in the law, and what the law does is reveal your sin to you, that there's no saving grace and forgiveness or righteousness in the law. So the Jews had the law of Moses, yet they misunderstood its purpose for sinful humanity. So there were some Christian Jews who were saying, yeah, we believe in Jesus, but we need to work our way to heaven. We have Jesus, and we need to work our way to heaven. Sound like there's a lot of people even today with the same mindset. So Paul is teaching, if you're trying to keep the law to be righteous before God, man, then you're still in your sin. It is impossible to earn righteousness with God by keeping his law as best we can. A person would need to be perfect night and day, every moment of the day, if he could keep the law and be saved. So to attempt this is really being carnally minded. It's like, I can get to heaven on my own if I just behave myself. I can get to heaven on my own if I just follow the Ten Commandments. And you can't. It's impossible. Matter of fact, when we have that mindset, all we do is get bound up tighter into the bondage of that law. And since we believe that we can be saved and sanctified by God's law, it's only meant to reveal our sin to us and our need for the Savior, God's only Son. Man, we only get bound up tighter when we are trying to do this and trying to do this and trying to avoid this and avoid that. That's what's on our mindset. It's kind of like when it's on our mindset, that's what we go to do more. So Paul compares the life under the weight of the law as compared to the liberty in Christ Jesus as the Holy Spirit lives in him. Notice there's two differences that Paul has laid out. The law of Moses, law of God, which is very heavy and it's bounding, and then the law of the Spirit that lives on the inside. One is external. The law of Moses is external. The law of the Spirit is internal. So let's read Romans 8, 5 through 11. Beginning in verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind that's set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are able, who are in the flesh, are not able to please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. He's talking to the Christians here. He's distinguishing here between those who are lost, those who are saved. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit you would piece it out for us to understand even better, because we approach you this morning knowing that we're incapable of our own to understand your precious word. We need your Holy Spirit to rightly divide it for us. We pray this in your name. Amen. First thing we need to see in verses 5 through verses 8 is you can't please God by living like the world. You and I cannot please God by trying to live like the world. He says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So Paul is drawing a distinction between the lost who follow after the affections of the flesh with no conviction. We have to understand that, Christian, because some of you who are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit right now, are thinking, well, I sin, and does that mean I'm following after the flesh? Know the distinction. These follow after the flesh with no conviction. Listen, born again Christian, when you sin, there is conviction. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will not let you rest until you repent. So Paul is drawing this distinction here. It's about those who follow the affections of the flesh with no conviction. And the saved man who has the new nature of Christ and the Holy Spirit abiding in him. So Paul is setting out, here's the difference. Notice how Paul identifies and describes the differences. With the law of Moses being external, but the law of the Spirit being internal, we have to get that. The Holy Spirit lives and abides and dwells inside. He is the one who's writing the Word of God in our heart. He's the one who's putting the Word of God in our heart. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. Get in the Word so the Word gets in us. Why? Because the Spirit brings it to memory. The law of Moses is just about doing external things. Well, I went to church, and I went to this class, and I went to this, and I went to this. All these religious things, external. There's no saving grace in that. See, back in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the very first verse, we covered it last week, Paul described as a believer as one who says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Now, Paul spends the rest of chapter 8 explaining what he meant right there in verse 1. Because he summarized verse 1 to take care of all chapter 7. So these are people who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Who are those who have no condemnation? Those who walk after the Spirit. So here in verses 5 through 8, Paul informs us what he means by a person walking after the flesh, and one who walks after the Spirit. Verse 5 says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. The Greek word there is phroneo. Phroneo. It means there from when it says mind on the things of the flesh, it's one word there in Greek. It's phroneo. It means to exercise the mind, to entertain or have a sentiment or option. To exercise the mind, to entertain or to have a sentiment or opinion by implication, to interest oneself in, with concern, to set the affections on. Phroneo essentially means, it equates to a person's opinion, fleshing it out in action. In other words, your mindset is just on you and your own selfishness. That's not a stumble, that's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle of you trying to fulfill what you want in your life. Your mind is nothing but on the flesh with no conviction. So when the mind of a man is set on the things of the flesh, it means that he esteems, he desires, and delights in the things that displease God. These things please and gratify our senses and our animal appetites and our passions and corrupt nature that focuses on the things visible and temporary. So these may be things of our senses or imagination, the praise of men or the riches of the world, to set our thoughts and affections upon them. People say, well, you know, money's the root of all evil. No, it's not. It's the love of money that's the root of all kinds of evil. You see, the affection, the passion, the mindset is man, just want more and more wealth, more and more prosperity. Why? Because it feeds my appetite. This is what Paul is talking about. That's just one example. It's like if your lifestyle is this way. So Paul gives an easy way for us to determine if we walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. He basically is asking, where's our mindset? What do you pursue day in and day out? What is on your mind day in and day out? Your life, what were you thinking of 5 years ago? What were you thinking of 10 years ago? What were you thinking of last? What is your mindset in mind pursuit? Is it only on fulfilling the flesh? You see, the mind is the strategic battleground where the flesh and the spirit fight. It's all up here. So we also see that even believers can get distracted with thoughts, ideas, or desires that displease God. That's why Paul is bringing it out to us. It's like, what is the pursuit of your life? If the pursuit of your life is Christ, that's a sign that the Holy Spirit is leading you. But if your pursuit of your life is just getting as much as you can while you can that satisfies and gratifies the flesh, then there's a problem. You do that with no conviction. You know, think about a Christian. Man, when we sin, there's conviction, and we don't like that. I mean, we may sin for a season, but the Holy Spirit doesn't rest. We sense that conviction all the time until we repent. And repent means to turn away, to change, to move away from it. You talk about this, you know, that believers can get distracted. Think about this. We can get distracted with our ideas and our thoughts and our desires. that displeased God. Peter was one who meant well when he told Jesus to avoid the cross. Peter, who's kind of bold and big mouth, he tells Jesus in Matthew 16, 22, Jesus tells him about going to the cross, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He fussing at Jesus, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me." He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's." See, for the mindset on the flesh is death. Verse 6 says, when our minds are set and in pursuit of carnal things in the flesh, it brings death to some aspect of us. Christian, listen. When a saved person gets focused on things of the flesh, his peace dies. His joy dies. His courage dies. His boldness for Christ dies. His spiritual vitality and vigor die. Even though the believer may be temporary, you know, even though for the believer it may be temporary, man, there's some things in you that die because of sin. Man, what a beautiful life we're wasting, chasing after temporary things that appeal to the flesh but have no long-term value for us. See, the person who is not a believer, chasing after the temporary pleasures of this life, man, that's the only life they know. They're living their best life now. And they're just going from one thing to the next, 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 looking for that thing. When they really need to be looking for Christ. So as Christians, we must guard against false spirituality and see that Paul means the flesh in the way that is an instrument of rebellion against God. So Paul is not talking about normal physical, emotional needs that we may think about. You're hungry, you need to eat. You know, we need love, we may need a hug. Not those normal things, but the sinful gratification of those needs. That's what he's talking about. So verse 7 says, because of the mind is set on the flesh, the sinful gratification of the things of the flesh is hostile toward God. For it is not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Man, he says, listen, you want to follow the law of God. The law of God is just pointing to your sin. You can't even align yourself to say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The flesh battles against God. We just want what we want to do. How many people today say that they're a Christian, but the truth of the matter is they are personally the Lord over their life? God is just a side note. Go to church and check it off. Well, if we're a pretty good person at other people's opinions, then we must be all right. Really? That's what we've equated to, that shallow of a mindset of Christianity? Sadly, in America's church, that's where we've been. See, our flesh, listen, does not want to live out what Scripture says in Galatians 5:24. It says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. The same Paul who's writing Romans also wrote Galatians. So the carnal mind, that worldly mind, does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. We can try to do good in life without being subject to the law of God. Even if our flesh does religious things that are admired by men. Man, we can, apart from Christ, there are people, listen, there are some people who we would classify as good people around the world, and they lost and going to hell. They're kind, they're benevolent, they good, do good to help their neighbor. And see, some people would equate that to salvation. No, Scripture says they're still in their sin without Jesus Christ. See, it's clear in verse 7 that says, because the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile toward God. It's clear from that in verse 7 that completely pushes forward how totally depraved and lost in the blackness of sin is the state of men who live after the flesh. We can't even come to God. All we do is follow our flesh, follow our desires. That's why it takes the Holy Spirit, a miracle of God, to even make the gospel message effective in a lost person's mind. You're here today, Christian, you're a born-again believer. It's the Holy Spirit that did a miracle in you, that took God's word, the gospel message of Jesus, and made it effective to you so you would even believe it. Then he gives you the gift of faith so you would respond in belief upon Jesus as Savior in repentance of your sin. It started and it ends with a miracle of God, your salvation. Don't count yourself as being nothing. Paul says you can't even respond to the gospel because your mindset is just set on fulfilling the flesh and what you want. Another thing here that Paul is bringing out is that Christians live empowered by the Holy Spirit. So he's telling you what a lost person looks like. Man, all you're doing, your mindset day after day after day is fulfilling through sinful gratification the things of the flesh. The wants and needs of the flesh, you're looking through sinful things to fulfill them. Christians live empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, does that, listen, when I say fulfill by the living in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that doesn't mean you speak in a different language. That has nothing to do with you running around the church. It has nothing to do with you falling slain at the altar of a church. Barking like a dog, rolling over, jumping on pews, running and jumping on the pulpit in the back. That's nonsense. That's demonic. What you say that for, Brother Kevin? Show it to me. People can do it. You obviously don't know the spiritual realm and how the devil works then. That you are just gullible enough to believe anything that anybody says because it was done in a church and it sounded religious. Then you need to get in your Bible and understand how the devil works in the spiritual realm. He counterfeits the real things of the Bible to make it look almost real. But it's still false. To where people just believe anything. They just go with the flow because it feels good. Everybody else is doing it. And it sounds religious. It was done in the church. Scripture is the plumb line on which we have truth. A plumb line, if you're familiar with carpentry work or bricklaying, anything, they run a plumb line with a heavy weight at the end with a string on it, and that string lines up perfectly straight with the earth. Now, that would be a perfect line. Scripture is the plumb line. It's perfectly straight for our benefit to learn and grow. Verse 5, Paul said, set their minds, those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So you set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Verse 6 says, the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And you are born again. The Holy Spirit fills you and He seals you until the day of redemption when Jesus returns. Or you pass from this life through the next. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, in Him, who? Jesus. You also, after listening to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with His Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, who has given us a pledge of our inheritance upon the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. Christian, when you are born again at that very moment, you are sealed. You are filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. You are empowered with the Holy Spirit, Christian, to live for Christ each day. The Spirit and the Word are on the battleground for you against the flesh that is manipulated with temptations by Satan and demons. The Holy Spirit equips us to battle against the Spirit of rebellion that's against God that has infected this world. Man, we have to grasp how valuable the presence of God in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, verse 9 through verse 11, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Verse 9 says, however, you who are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. See, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is given to each believer the very moment that you are saved through faith and repentance. You believe upon Jesus Christ as Savior. See, at that very moment, you are spiritually born again. The Holy Spirit regenerates us. Listen, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were bound for hell. We were going by the flesh until God. I love it when it says, but God. But God intervened in us. It's not that we were feeling bad about ourselves one day and just wanted to get saved. Because we were dead in our transgressions and sins. And the Spirit of God, being chosen, being elected by God, He came to us, made the gospel message effective in us. He abides us, regenerates us, brings us from spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. He gives us the gift of faith. It is through that faith that we respond in belief upon Jesus Christ in repentance of our sin. We turn from our sin to the Savior. All because of the miracle that God did. Not through our willpower. Not through our intellect, not through our knowledge. It is a miracle that God did in us. And the Holy Spirit abides in us. You're made spiritually alive. He abides and dwells in every believer till the Lord returns. Every genuine, regenerated Christian is miraculously saved by the act of God in Christ Jesus. You know what's so, it's almost like splitting hairs. When you have to say regenerated Christian, that the Holy Spirit did. Because here in America, if you attend anything that says it's Christian, people call themselves Christian. And many of them are still lost. That's not judgment. That's just scripture. Just because you go to a church that says, well, it's a Christian church, doesn't mean that everybody in that building is saved and born again. It's true. Every Christian has within themselves God, the Holy Spirit, and He is higher, more powerful than the flesh and its impulses and desires. We also see verse 9, the latter part says, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. This means that every believer has the Holy Spirit, and those who are unsaved do not. John 14:6, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, so that He may be with you forever. John 14:18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Verse 20, a little bit further down. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. So as Christians, we are vitally united with Christ. We are in Him through faith, through a living faith that He gives to us, and Jesus dwells in us through His Holy Spirit. We're accepted and approved by God. Wherever the Spirit dwells, He reigns, He regenerates the soul and sanctifies us as believers to mature to be like Jesus. Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in us. It says, if any man or woman does not have the Spirit of Christ residing in him, governing over him, that person is not a disciple of Christ. He is not in Christ. And Christ is not in him. Plain and simple, the person without the Holy Spirit living inside of him is not a Christian. Even though they may attend a Christian building or Christian gathering. He may be religious. He may be a benevolent person. He may be considered a good person by those around. Yet without the Spirit of God living in him, miraculously, by faith, without exception, that person still in his sin if they do not have the Spirit living in him. They're not in Christ. He's lost. Listen, church. As Christians, we're not divided in groups. There's some who have different spiritual gifts. Some do speak in other languages, other tongues. Listen, there are people who do that, but there are people who have helps. There are those who are preachers. There are those who are teachers. But not all of us have all the same gifts. God wants us to use those gifts specifically to edify the church, to build up one another. See, when you're regenerated by the Holy Spirit, God, He gives you the gift of faith. You respond to Jesus through that faith. He fills you at that very moment. And we have the Spirit. And we must be reminded that we are surrender our wills to the Spirit every day. Just very simple. We have all of the Spirit. The Spirit have all of us. That's where we struggle, Christian. Let's be honest. We're born again. Spirit regenerates us. He dwells in us. We have all of Him. We're filled with the Spirit at that very moment. But we leak. It's required every day that we, Lord, fill me fresh and anew with Your Holy Spirit so I can walk in You, submitting our will to Him. We have to be reminded to submit our wills to the Lord Jesus. many Christians, listen, miss out on living in the power and the victory of daily life, this constant fullness of the Spirit, because we lack being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, 18, Paul tells us, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Jesus declares this over there, describes this in John 7, verse 37 through 39. It says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 says, but this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were going to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. In other words, Jesus had not been ascended yet. So here's a few questions for you, and I close. Sometimes Christians, we hear that. You know what we do? We begin to reflect over our life, and we realize that, man, this battle going on, and there's some days that we tell the Holy Spirit, sick them, and, man, we have victory. And there's some other days that go by that, man, we're just stumbling because we're trying to handle things on our own. And Christians, just like Peter, some days we get distracted. We want what we want when we want it. Doesn't mean we're lost. Here's a few questions to reassure you, Christian. First of all, has the Holy Spirit led you to Jesus? Was it the Holy Spirit that led you to Jesus? No, you didn't see him or touch him. Yet you know you believe the gospel, then there's no other explanation for it because of the lifestyle you were at, where you were at on the road. You know the Holy Spirit dealt with you and the Holy Spirit regenerated you and you wanted Jesus. Has the Holy Spirit led you to Jesus? He abides in you. Second question is this. Has the Holy Spirit put in you the desire to honor Jesus? Has the Holy Spirit put in you the desire to honor Jesus? Man, that there is the desire. You want to be with God's people. You want to learn more about it. You're not under the weight of the law, but, man, you're in the freedom of the Spirit, but, man, you want to please God. Is there a desire in you to honor Jesus with your life? The third one is this. Is the Spirit leading you to be more like Jesus? That sweeping out of the old stuff and bringing in the new? See, it's hard to believe that a Christian who says they're born again would not want to be more like Jesus. How are we more like Jesus? Well, we read his word. We pray. We gather with the church at the appointed time. Man, we want to do the things that discipline us to help us to grow. The fourth question is this. If you sin, does the Holy Spirit convict you to repent? Does he counsel you to reflect and learn from the word? Maybe put up a new boundary or barrier in your life. If you sin, does the Holy Spirit convict you to repent? Or do you just try to live with it? Maybe feel bad about yourself, but you're really not ready to repent. See, the Holy Spirit wants us to repent. The last question is this. Is the Spirit at work in your heart? One of the sure ways is when you sin, if the Holy Spirit, if you feel conviction about that and you're dealing with that, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Only a saved person would deal with that. Only a saved person would struggle with sinful decisions. Lost person wouldn't struggle with it. They'd be looking for the next opportunity and the next and the next and the next and the next. And matter of fact, they're not only for that opportunity, they're looking for more. See, a person who has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, him or her, wants to live to please Jesus. He wants to repent of sin when he has sinned. A person who has the Spirit abiding in him is bothered by the presence of sin. And the closer you grow to Christ, even those small things, attitude, a word, a joke, something you saw, something you listened to, even all of it stings. What about the presence of prayer, speaking to the Father? You have a desire to speak to God? See, the devil doesn't want you to talk to God. But man, the Holy Spirit is encouraging you to speak to the Father. See, a person who has the Holy Spirit wants to read their Bible. Maybe you don't get to every day, but man, there's a desire to grow in God's Word. And there's a desire to be with God's people. I actually want to go to church. You actually want to. It's not a job. It's not a task. It's a desire in you to be with God's people who are just as imperfect as you are. Man, there's a desire in you to grow in faith when you have the Holy Spirit. You want to mature in Christ. And when you have the Holy Spirit, he stirs you to serve. You want to be actively serving somewhere. Somewhere. Whether it's a prayer group, whether it's cleaning a church, whether it's picking up this, whether it's doing this, whatever. It's not always stage stuff. Man, you may want to serve and nobody ever notices. But that's okay because God sees. You see, a person under the Spirit's influence finds himself or herself reflecting a lot, repenting a lot, and just wanting to draw closer to Christ. And when there's a boundary and there's a barrier that is in the way, you want God to remove it. I know as a Christian, I find myself repenting a whole lot more than I'd like to mention. But I've learned this. That's just part of our lifestyle. Why? Because the Holy Spirit living in us won't let us just settle. He is pushing for repentance in our life. Seem like sometime we pray, Lord, I repent of my sins. And that's the whole prayer. Lord, I'm sorry for doing that. I shouldn't have done it, Lord. And the devil will want to take you, say, look, you can't get it right ever. All you ever do is pray about repentance. That's the Holy Spirit coming inside and says, repent of this. The devil wants you to believe that you are not worth anything, that you'll never live up to what God has in store for you. Truth is, only the Holy Spirit can lead you there. You can't do it on your own. Don't listen to that voice of the devil. Don't listen to that one who's trying to distract you away from the things that God has in store for you, for the growth and maturity. Listen to the one who lives in you, the Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray together. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed at the end when we say amen. Father God, so much to learn from Paul. So much to learn from the Word. God, I pray that everyone in the sound of my voice is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We're not acting up and cutting up, God. We're not running around and doing all kind of crazy stuff that is non-biblical. But God, we're filled with the Spirit. We know that we are because you saved us. It was a miracle that happened in us. And we know that you dwell in us and give us peace. Father God, today I pray that we have a fresh start, a fresh step with you, that we can walk the faith that you've called us to. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.